We don't have the bios for everybody, so I'm going to go ahead and let everyone introduce themselves.
Well, thank you to the Violence Prevention Forum for inviting us, and Jim for that introduction and plug for interdisciplinarity and transdisciplinarity. I think you'll see from this presentation that we feel like it takes all hands on deck to do something about societal concerns. I'm Professor Esther Shapiro, or Esther Rebecca Shapiro Roque, if it's my family calling me, because I'm Cuban-American, very involved in research with community participants, informing changes within communities. Very proud to be here with Tamim Mohammed, one of the PhD students at the doctoral program where I teach at the University of Massachusetts in Boston. UMass Boston is a very unique place in the city because we both enroll students who have lived experiences of adversities associated with urban poverty, including violence. They train to give something back to their communities. We have many doctoral programs that are designed to address urban concerns. And we have a clinical psychology doctoral program where I teach and where I mentor students in this health promotion research group, which is designed to bridge clinical psychology and more advocacy and social action work. So I was very excited to mentor Tamim Mohammed. He is about to apply for internships in the California area, so if anybody has contacts at the clinical psychology internships on the West Coast, Tamim is a treasure. He conducted the study as secondary analysis of the well-known Worcester Families study and did some really ingenious construction of scales in order to be able to ask the important question, who are the kids exposed to multiple forms of violence, and what do we know about how they handle these exposures to violence? As Tamim will show you, this is a framework and data analysis with the goal of informing not just clinical interventions, but policy and advocacy. So I give you soon-to-be Dr. Tamim Mohammed.
So as many of you know, children's exposure to violence is a major social problem in our society, and poor and socioeconomically disadvantaged ethnic and racial minority children and families are at increased risk or at increased, they're even higher in their vulnerability for being exposed to different forms of violence. Much of the literature, much of the empirical research that's done on exposure to violence typically focuses on a very specific, an isolated form of violence, so violence in the community, intimate partner violence or child physical and sexual abuse, and they look specifically at those as those specific forms of violence rather than looking at them cumulatively. This has a lot of implications for the kinds of policies and the kinds of programs that we can develop that comprehensively address these problems. So we wanted to take an ecological approach to understanding children's exposure to violence. So we wanted to look at violence as it occurs in the community, as well as it emerges in the family context. We're also interested in trying to identify resources that are available to children and families that they can mobilize in relation to violence as one challenge or one stressor in relation to broader challenges that might be present as well, so things like poverty and racism and discrimination. So the theoretical framework that we're using to drive this study is the ecological stress process model that was put together by Foster and Brooks Gunn in 2009, and it helps to it's a guiding conceptual framework for integrating the different lines of research that have studied exposure to violence. So the research on exposure to community violence and the research, it helps to, you know, it's a guiding conceptual framework for integrating the. We're also really interested in integrating the child coping literature to understand, emotionally regulated coping as a resource that children can access in relation to stressors that they don't have a lot of control over, that they don't have a lot of power to change. All right, so, you know, we view exposure to violence as a form of stress, or, you know, as an adverse experience that emerges across different ecological contexts, and that, you know, create, you know, that threaten children's healthy development. So, you know, it impacts their sense of connectedness in relation to people. It also impacts their sense of safety, and, you know, the extent to which they have control over their environment. So, you know, this study is really trying to understand the impacts of multiple interrelated forms of violence on children's emotional, mental health, and overall adjustment, as well as the role of emotionally regulated coping as a potential protective factor in relation to multiple violence exposures. So our hypotheses are that exposure to violence will be positively associated with mental health symptoms, and that children's emotionally regulated coping strategies will operate as a protective factor. So children who are using higher levels of emotionally regulated coping will experience lower levels of internalizing and externalizing symptoms. So the participants in the study are derived from the Worcester Family Research Project, which was conducted by Dr. Basuk and her colleagues from 1996 and onward. The sample consists predominantly of poor, residency unstable, predominantly single parenting households or families. So we interviewed the primary caregivers as well as the children. I didn't interview them. The study primary investigators interviewed them and collected the data. So the children in the study originally consisted of 135 youth. Because there were siblings in a lot of the families, we took out the siblings, so we ended up with 91 children for this study. This is some more information about the procedures. So they're interviewed on site, either at the shelter or project office. There are multiple sessions involved. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about the measures in the study. So exposure to family abuse was measured using two dichotomous items reflecting whether or not physical and sexual abuse were present. So these two items were aggregated, and that gave us a total score for family abuse. Intimate partner violence was measured using the conflict tactics scale, which is a widely used measure. So these are some of the items there are 11 items that there are some examples up here. And then there's the exposure to community violence scale, which we formulated using different scales. So we used the life events questionnaire, which both parents and children completed. So we have both perspectives on exposure to community violence. And then there are also four items that we used from the strains and worry scale. It just gives us a sense of how worried or stressed children are about about experiencing violence in the community. We also assessed multiple mental health outcomes. So we used the Revised Children's Manifest Anxiety Scale, another widely used measure, and the Child Behavior Checklist to assess anxiety and aggression, as well as post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms. Emotionally regulated coping was measured using the School Agers Coping Strategies Inventory. It's a 26-item measure. We wanted to conceptualize emotionally regulated coping in such a way that, coping strategies that overlap with psychopathology or symptoms of maladjustment, we didn't want to include that in our measure of coping strategies that would be protective. So we only wanted to look at coping strategies that would be adaptive and would foster positive adaptation in relation to violence. So coping strategies that overlap with symptoms of psychopathology, we excluded. So there are 8 items that we believed overlap with symptoms of psychopathology. We took them out. We were left with the 18-item measure of emotionally regulated coping strategies. So we used M+ as well as R to do the structural equation modeling to prepare the data and to do some of the post-hoc analyses as well. For the structural equation modeling, we used the chi-square statistic as a statistical measure of fit, and then we also used relative measures of fit to complement the statistical measure of fit, just to get a comprehensive sense of how well our theorized model is reflected or represented in the statistical model. So the missing data rate was less than 5% for all of our data, for all the items and measures in our study. But maternal reports on child exposure to family physical and sexual abuse had 8.8% and 5.5% missingness. So we used Little's missing completely at random test, and based on the basis of our findings from that test, we imputed missing data for the 5% of data that were not in the raw data. So the full model predicting anxiety symptoms was statistically significant. We took some steps to make sure that we were accounting for sociodemographic variables that what might impact the association between exposure to violence and mental health outcomes. So none of the demographic variables made a significant contribution to predicting anxiety symptoms. Housing status made a significant unique contribution to predicting aggression, and housing status as well as age made significant contributions to predicting PTSD. So we accounted for those sociodemographic variables before we did any formal testing of our hypotheses. I just wanted to give you a sense of how much violence these youth were absorbing. So 15% of children were physically abused, 13% were sexually abused, 7.7% of children reported both types of family violence. Mothers reported high rates of intimate partner violence. So, for example, 43% reported being pushed or shoved, 21% reported having been beaten up with multiple blows, 17% reported having been strangled or choked. The rates of exposure to community violence was also very high. So as high, 38% of children reported worrying about a robbery or burglary in their home or of their home or family. 30% reported worrying about their safety where they live. 30% of children reported having witnessed violence at their school or in the neighborhood. And just to give you an overall sense of their exposure to multiple types of violence simultaneously, so 93% of the sample was exposed to just one type, 53% was exposed to at least two types, and then 14% were exposed to at least three types of violence. This is just a correlation matrix across all our measures. This is giving a sense of how much overlap or how much interrelations exist amongst the raw measures. So here's a general description of our sample and how we accounted for these variables based on our regression analysis of the relations between sociodemographic variables and our outcome variables. So prior to doing formal analyses of our hypothesis, we did confirmatory factor analysis to make sure that we were accurately measuring what we're theorizing to measure based on the scales we developed. So based on measurement modeling, the chi-square test for this model was not significant, which along with other relative measures of fit support the argument that the model adequately, our theorized measurement model adequately is representing what's going on in the raw statistical matrix that was derived based on the measures. So the factor loadings in the measurement model were positive and statistically significant. So we moved on to, this is what the measurement model looks like. There should be some correlation errors, but so we have our family violence construct, theorized construct, and it's indicated by two measured indicators. So these are the two measures or items used to measure family violence. So based on our measurement model, we had statistical support for using this measure to represent this experience that children were having. So we have these theorized constructs for all our variables: intimate partner violence based on the 11 items, community violence, etc. So this is where we actually test our hypothesis. So we're looking at the relation between our exposure. So it's an ecological. We're hoping to represent an ecological model here. So we have family violence, intimate partner violence, and community violence, and how it's related to our outcome variables. So based on our structural model, there were significant regression coefficients for the paths linking anxiety to exposure to community violence. So community violence was associated with anxiety. Intimate partner violence and community violence were both associated with aggression. And family violence was uniquely associated with PTSD relative to the other violence measures. So the regression coefficient for the path linking aggression to child housing status was not significant. So this is the sociodemographic variables that we wanted to account for. Right, so, you know, having accounted for these sociodemographic variables, our findings were still significant. So as you can see, the sociodemographic variables are right here. They're both accounting for the two outcome variables that they were associated with based on our preliminary analysis. Wanting to keep in mind that, there seem to be some patterns in how violence exposures are impacting mental health outcomes cumulatively, as well as maybe in specific ways as well. So then we looked at, we took our main effect structural model and nested it to an alternative model where we included an interaction term between emotionally regulated coping and each of the exposure to violence latent constructs. So what that looks like is something like this. So emotionally regulated coping, is theorized to moderate the relationship between our exposure to violence variables and each mental health outcome. So consistent with our theorized hypothesis about the role of emotionally regulated coping, the regression coefficient for the path linking anxiety to the latent interaction term between exposure to family abuse and emotional regulated coping was negative and significant, and this indicates that the positive association between exposure to family abuse and anxiety is reduced for those children who are using emotionally regulated coping or who are using higher levels of emotionally regulated coping. Similarly, the regression coefficient for the path linking aggression and emotionally regulated coping for the regression coefficient for the path between aggression and the interaction term between emotionally regulated coping and community violence was negative and significant. This indicates that the positive association between exposure to family abuse and aggression is reduced for children and youth with higher overall emotionally regulated coping. Finally, the regression coefficient for the path linking PTSD to the interaction term between exposure to family abuse and emotionally regulated coping was negative and significant. This indicates that the positive association between family abuse and PTSD is reduced for children and youth with higher overall emotionally regulated coping. So I just wanted to step back real quick and show you guys that. So the emotionally regulated coping construct was moderating the relationship between family abuse and each of our three mental health outcomes, but it did not moderate the relationship between intimate partner violence and our mental health outcomes, as well as community violence and our mental health outcomes. So specifically acting as a moderator in the relation between family violence and mental health outcomes. Let's see here. So this is just a plot of the interaction effect. So we did simple slopes analyses and determined that the simple slopes were significant in relation to, the slopes being held constant or being assigned a value of zero. So Esther, did you want to speak to the discussion?
Yes.
Okay,
wonderful.
Thank you, Tamim, for this. I Yeah, so I'm going to take half of my 1 minute to introduce Dwight Sankey, who's a member of our research team. He came in towards the beginning of the presentation, and he's one of the UMass undergraduates who is very dedicated to making sure that communities living with high rates of violence do not continue to experience this. And he's been working as a volunteer in High Square Task Force in Jamaica Plain, and looking for a career that will bridge both community service and entrepreneurial work, because we need to be able to sustain these types of approaches. So I call myself a clinical psychologist in recovery and a born-again health promotion researcher. Tamim and I fought a lot about this master's thesis, because at one point I discovered that what we were going to do was test the relationship between specific forms of violence and specific forms of psychopathology. And what I was really interested in is, what can we do to help these kids who have absolutely no control over the violence that surrounds them to do something that will protect their future development while the rest of us do something more? And so that's why I was thrilled that finally the structural equation modeling, which were a second set of analyses, showed us a way to put this model together and say, look, we've got to target every level of the ecological experience, and we have to link the evidence of the harm that's done to children and families to interventions that can help in every sphere, including policy. So I've started to say to people that emotionally regulated coping education is like omega-3 fatty acids. They are good for heart disease, they are good for depression, they are good for psychosis prevention. We ought to be helping kids both name the things that are happening in their lives and cope in ways that will allow them to have a future that's not continuing to be blighted by violence. So if you haven't seen the Brooks Gunn 2009 paper, it was designed to be a bridge between mental health data and policy analysis. So thank you, everyone, for your time and attention.